CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham. Web references in the script can be found either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday the 31st of March 2024. Here are the main news headlines. Chris Whitmarsh, G0FDZ's Lifetime Achievement Reward. The RSGB 2024 AGM coming up. The RSGB providing regular updates on its strategic priorities. Congratulations to Chris Whitmarsh, G0FDZ, who's been presented with an RSGB Lifetime Achievement Award by RSGB President John McCulloch, GI4BWM, and RSGB Board Chairman Stuart Bryant, G3YSX. Chris is the only amateur in the UK to have had a two-way QSO on every single amateur band for which we're licensed. Chris has been Vice President of Cray Valley Radio Society for over 20 years, and members of the club turned out in force to see the presentation and celebrate his achievement. A reminder that this year's RSGB AGM will take place at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 13th of April. It's being held online to ensure that as many members as possible can watch and take part. The formal business of the meeting will include the results of members' vote on the resolution, including the endorsement of three nominated directors. RSGB members are encouraged to vote on all the resolutions. This year you can ask the RSGB board a question in one of three ways: by submitting it in advance via an online form, registering to ask a question live on video via Zoom, or asking via the YouTube live chat during the event. There are deadlines for submitting questions via the online form or Zoom, so make sure you don't miss them. Find out more on the RSGB AGM on the web pages of the RSGB under /AGM. At the discussion with the board sessions at the RSGB convention last year, the President John McCulloch, GI4BWM, committed the board to giving regular updates on work being done to fulfil the RSGB's strategic priorities. Since the beginning of the year, a monthly report has been shared in Radcom and on the RSGB website. These reports have covered a range of activities and achievements involving both staff and volunteers. The board is committed to continuing this regular communication, so look for the updates in Radcom each month. If you've missed any this year, you can find them all on the RSGB website under strategy-updates. Are you aged 18 to 30? Are you passionate about doing all things radio? Are you ready for exciting experiences, making new friends, shaping the future of amateur radio? Why not apply to be part of the RSGB YOTA team going to the YOTA Chechia summer camp this year? You can find out more on the RSGB website under YOTA Camp. You'll be able to read about the experiences of previous teams and download an application form for the Chechia event. The closing date for applications is the 15th of April for the team leader and the 22nd of April for team members. The March 2024 edition of Radcom Basics is now available on the RSGB website for members to read. Radcom Basics is aimed at new licensees or anyone who enjoys reading about the fundamental principles behind the many facets of amateur radio. This edition includes articles which cover the checking and testing of components, working on the 160 and 80 metre bands with limited space, the importance of antenna radials, what it's like to take up portable operating, and a guide to clean transmissions. To read Radcom Basics, visit rsgb.org/radcom-basics. At its recent meeting, the CPT Frequency Management Working Group confirmed that Barry Lewis, G4SJH, in his IARU role, would continue as chairman for a further three-year period, having been first appointed in 2019. The meeting also noted updates to TR6101 that facilitates the temporary operation of a fellow member's country for Georgia joining the scheme, as well as editorial changes to accommodate Australian license changes and Canadian provincial prefixes. Barry has also continued his work in CEPT on the 23 SEMS band, following the outcomes from WRC 23. IAIU and RSGB volunteers are also starting ITU WRC 27 preparations, where further bands and topics are of concern to amateur radio. Please note that the RSGB HQ will be closed for the bank holiday on Monday, the 1st of April, Easter Monday. Please continue to send all your news and updates to radcom at rsgb.org.uk. Deadline for the GB2RS news is 10 a.m. on Thursday before the Sunday broadcast. Now for details of rallies and events. Holsworthy Spring Rally will be held on the 7th of April at Holsworthy Livestock Market in Devon. The doors open to traders from 8 a.m. and to the public from 10. Wheelchair access, catering and free parking will be available. For more information, email m0omc at m0omc.co.uk. Yeovil Amateur Radio Club's 38th QRP convention will be held on Saturday the 20th of April at the Digby Hall, Sherborne in Dorset, DT93AA. Doors will be open from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and admission will be £3. The event will feature talks, traders, bring and buy area, club stalls and a cafe. More information, see yeovil-arc.com or email Derek Bowen, figures 1949 at talktalk.net. Now for the special event news. Special event station GW0WYT will be active from RAF Witten during the Airfields on the Air event on the weekend of the 13th and 14th of April. This is the 12th year that the station has put a special station event the station has put on a special event station for the event. Yeah. The call sign will again be operated by RAF Air Cadet Communication staff and club members from the Huntingdonshire Amateur Radio Society. This year, due to restrictions, the activity will be run from a site just west of the main runway at Witten. Operators will be active on the HF band, subject to working conditions, using CW phone, RTTY, PSK31 and FT8. FM and SSB will also be used on the 2-metre band. Special event station Oscar Echo 100 Romeo Alpha Delta India Oscar is active on the 31st of until the 31st of December, celebrating 100th anniversary of the beginning of regular radio transmissions in Austria in 1924. The station was heard recently on the 40-metre band using CWQSL via the Bureau. Now for DX News, Philippe SCE3SX will be active as CB0ZIX from Juan Fernandez until the 4th of April. He'll be QRV almost exclusively on the 6-metre band using SSB and FT8. QSL via Logbook of the World, traditional QSL cards will not be available. TER W2APF is active as VP2MDX from Montserrat, NA103, until the 11th of April. He's operating CW, SSB, FT8 and FM on 80 to 6-metre bands, QSL via Logbook of the World or directly to W2APF. Contest news, the CQ Worldwide WPX SSB contest started at 0000 UTC on Saturday the 30th of March and ends at 23:59 UTC today the 31st. Using SSB on the 160 to 10-metre bands where contests are allowed, the exchange is signal report and serial number. On Monday the 1st, the IRTS 70 SEMS counties contest runs from 1300 to 1330 UTC, FM and SSB on the 70 SEMS band. The exchange is signal report and serial number. EI and GI stations send their country. Also on Monday the 1st, the IRTS 2-metre counties contest runs from 1330 to 1500 UTC using FM and SSB on the 2-metre bands. The exchange is signal report and serial number. EI and GI stations also send their country. On Tuesday the 2nd, the 144 MHz FM activity contest runs from 1800 to 1855 UTC using FM and on the 2-metre bands. The exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Also Tuesday, 144 MHz UK activity contest runs from 1900 to 2130 UTC, all modes 2-meter band, the exchange signal report, serial number and locator. On Wednesday the 3rd, the 144 megs FT8 activity 4-hour contest runs from 1700 to 2100 UTC, FT8 on the 2-meter bands, the exchanges report and 4-character locator, and Wednesday the 3rd, the 144 megs FT8 activity 2-hour contest runs from 1900 to 2100 UTC, FT8 on the 2-meter band, the exchanges report and 4-character locator, stations entering in the 4-hour contest may also enter the 2-hour contest. On Wednesday the 3rd, the UK and Ireland Contest Club 80-metre contest runs from 2000 to 2100 UTC, SSB on the 80-metre band, the exchange is your 6-character locator. The FT4 International Activity Day starts at 1200 UTC on Saturday the 6th of April and ends at 1200 UTC on Sunday the 7th, using FT4 on the 160 to 10 metre bands where contests are allowed. The exchange is your report. The SPDX contest starts at 1500 UTC on Saturday the 6th and ends at 1500 UTC on Sunday the 7th. Using CW and SSB on the 160 to 10 metre bands, where contests are permitted, the exchange's signal report and serial number, SP stations also send their province code. On Sunday the 7th, the UK Microwave Group Low Band Contest runs from 1000 to 1600 UTC, using all modes on the 1.3 to 3.4 gigs frequency, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. On Sunday the 7th, the Worked All Britain Data Contest runs from 1000 to 1400 UTC and 1700 to 2100 UTC using FT8, FT4, JS8, RTTY and PSK on the 80, 40 and 20 metre bands. The exchange's signal report, serial number and Worked All Britain Square. Club and multi-operator stations can only score points in either one of the operating periods. Entries need to be with the contest manager by the 17th of April. Full rules available on the Worked All Britain website. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. What a tumultuous time we had last week, they write. Active region 3614 produced an X1.1 solar flare and coronal mass ejection, or CME, in the early hours of the 23rd of March. This impacted Earth's geomagnetic field, sending the KP index to 8 on the 24th of March. In fact, there were simultaneous flares from active region 3614 and the larger region AR3615. The solar wind speed reached more than 850 kilometres per second at the height of the geomagnetic storm, peaking at 880 kilometres per second. The CME started to impact the Earth early in the afternoon of the 24th, and according to DigiSon data, its full effects on the ionosphere started to be felt by 1540 UTC. The large AR3615 sunspot cluster continues to evolve as it moves into the Sun's southwest quadrant. Moderate flaring will remain likely in the short term, with a lower chance for another strong X-class flare. Although it's around the side of the Sun, it's not considered a threat today, Sunday the 31st. All this was not good news for HF propagation, which saw maximum usable frequencies over a 3,000-kilometre path plummet on the 24th to less than 18 megs. The ionosphere didn't fully recover until 2 days later, with the MUF struggling to get above 18 megs on the 25th. It wasn't until the afternoon of Wednesday the 27th that we saw the 10-metre band behaving normally again, with the KP index back in the range of 1 to 3. So, this is what can happen if we have an X-class flare and associated CME. We can expect more of the same to come. Next week, NOAA predicts the solar flux index will remain high at about 175 to 190. Unsettled geomagnetic conditions are forecast from the 3rd to the 5th of April, when the KP index could rise to 4. But keep an eye on solarham.net for a near real-time guide to current solar conditions. VHF and up. The period leading up to the Easter weekend and the following week shows up on the forecast charts as dominated by low pressure, feeding several periods of rain and showers across the country. This unfortunately means that Tropo is off the menu of weather-related VHF propagation. Of course, wet weather is usually very supportive of rain scatter propagation on the gigahertz bands, and this prolonged period of rain or showers will give the UHF and SHF operators something to keep them busy. Meteor scatter prospects are again just random, which tends to be better in the hours just before dawn. We can start to look forward to the April Lyrids, which are active in the second half of April, with a peak around the 22nd. It's worth checking out the operating conventions and frequencies now so that you can be ready. Strong aurora has been reported recently with a KP index of 8, and a quick listen for fluttery signals on 80 metres or 40 metres is often a good clue if you don't have access to the KP index at the time. The main mode of interest for the coming months is sporadic E, and some early propagation is possible, mainly on digital modes on the 10 metres or 6 metre bands, but probably very fleeting. During the summer sporadic E season, it's well worth checking the propquest.co.uk graphs to see what's occurring and to get an idea of how it may relate to jet stream weather patterns by cross-checking with the sporadic E blog upper air charts. The sporadic E probability index, or EPI maps, are also potentially useful to see how favourable the regions change with time. In the current pre-season period, it's more typical to find trans-equatorial propagation, or TEP, as an exotic mode offering paths to the south into South Africa and possibly into South America. For EME operators, moon declination reaches minimum on Easter Monday, so we'll see short moon windows with low elevation. Path losses are falling all week, and in 144 megs, sky noise is moderate, rising to a peak of more than 3,000 Kelvin on Easter Monday before returning to low levels. And that's from the propagation team this week. That's all from me also. Wishing you a happy Easter, and see you next week.